Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
For one Broncos rookie, may not have been Patrick Surtain's first impression, but still pretty darn good. Stoke, what did you make of the Broncos' second round pick at the running back spot, Javonte Williams?
I thought he was awesome. Kind of what I was hoping to see. You don't know. We don't know. Watching training camp, I mean, like, oh, did he break that tackle? Would he have broken that tackle? I mean, that's where running backs make their money, and you can't see it. Like, you can see, well, did that quarterback complete the pass in practice?
Right.
And so it's hard to evaluate running backs in practice. So I was very interested to watch him and see what he looks like. You know, watched college film on him. We saw the reaction from George Payton, and when they moved up to go get him and him being available, you hear all the great things people say about him. And I loved it. I wrote in my notes, Zach. Let me find it here real quick.
Okay.
See these notes? I take notes on the preseason, too.
Same.
I know you do.
I would not expect anything less, by the way.
That's what we do, right? But, you know, it's... Actually fell asleep in the fourth quarter.
Did you know?
Yeah. Like, I was
like,
outside.
Like, literally fell asleep?
Yeah, I was outside watching it, and I was just like, huh. And Rippon was in there. It's like halfway through the fourth, you know, and I'm just like, it's like 33-6, you know, and I'm like, ain't nothing going to happen here that I'm going to really need to take. And I just like, poof, next thing you know, 30 minutes later, I'm waking up, and I was like, oh, that was a good nap. So I appreciate the Broncos for... doing what they did, and I got a good nap in.
Yeah,
good Saturday afternoon nap.
We've checked out of a lot of Broncos games late fourth quarter.
Yes.
This was for the right reason.
That's right. But I said, my notes, I can't find it right now. It's somewhere in there. But will Javonte Williams be the next Dalvin Cook?
Whoa.
Because, you know, they're playing the Vikings, so it just got me thinking. And you see Dalvin Cook, you know, his explosiveness, his ability to break tackles, run through arm tackles is special. And I think Dalvin was, I don't know if he was a late first or early second round pick.
I think he slipped to the second round.
Right, I thought so too. And so that's kind of where Javonte went.
And you loved yourself some Dalvin Cook coming out of college.
Yes.
He was a second round pick, the 41st overall pick.
Okay, so, you know, Javonte was a little bit higher.
Yeah, he was the 35th overall pick.
But similar, right? Both early second round picks. And then they were playing Minnesota. I'm like, could he be the next Dalvin Cook?
The fact that you're... are fairly asking that question based off the early return eye test is, I think, all we need to know about his first impression that he made on Saturday.
You don't have to be a top 10 pick to be a, you know, like one of these elite level. You find them all over the place.
And right.
Did the Broncos find their Dalvin Cook there? Second round, early second round pick. And because you saw what he was doing, and it just got me thinking, like, man, we might have ourselves a top five running back here in the next year.
Golly.
Why not?
It shouldn't be crazy. He's damn near a first rounder.
Right.
You're talking about him getting picked, what did I just say, 35th overall?
Yeah.
That makes you the third pick of the second round?
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I mean, gosh. The expectations for him were already high, but for him to flash the way that he did right out of the gate, the one on the second carry, he landed like on his head.
Yeah.
I'm like, ugh. It's like...
He's
like
looking for
the
contact.
Yeah.
He's looking to run over people. He's, you know, he could be a big difference maker this year for the Broncos. That 1-2 punch with him and Melvin Gordon, he's got me excited, just like Pat Surtain does.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm excited now. cautious excitement, but I've only got to see this guy one time play real football.
It
matters at that position.
That's right. But it's like your first date when you just hit it off with someone.
Yeah.
You're not sure exactly where it's going, but you can't wait for that second date. That's how I am with Javonte Williams this Saturday. We got a date Saturday night.
That second date.
That's it, baby. Yeah. Who knows?
You
leave
never
it open ended.
Right. You just don't know. I'm with you. I'm looking forward to it also. That's like one of the guys that we'll continue to watch and follow. But if he keeps playing like that, guess what happens? You know what happens like when you play like that? The coaches start trusting you more.
Mm.
And they start looking at it like, okay, we know this guy's a rookie. He's going to make some rookie mistakes. But, man, he's a difference maker. And when you are a difference maker, they'll say, hey, okay, we can go through a few growing pains here. But this guy's such a difference maker, we got to get him on the football field. And that's what he's doing right now. He's earning their trust.
This is Vic Fangio after the football game talking about Javonte Williams.
Yeah, he was anxious to see him because you can look at running backs all you want in practice and they can do good and get better. But ultimately, the number one job of a running back is to be able to make people miss or break tackles. And he was able to do that. And you can only find that in a game. And so I was really anxious to see him. And obviously, he didn't disappoint.
There you go. I mean, exactly what we said.
Literally.
Everything.
Yep.
Right there.
If you're Melvin Gordon, he's got a groin right now.
A who?
A groin injury.
A groin? A who?
A groin.
A groin.
I mean, the way I say groin is closer to the way it's supposed to be said than the way you say it.
Everybody makes fun of the way I say it, so when you said it, it sounded weird, so I'm going to pounce on that.
Right.
I'm going to pounce on it and say, deflect it from me to you.
Right.
And start making fun of you, because I'm always
interesting
making
game
fun
plan
of that.
With
yes.
this one.
Right, right. I mean, that's the way you got to do it.
But if you're
what kind of injury? One more time?
A groin.
A groin.
Okay.
No. Okay.
He's got a groin injury, but if you're him, and you know.
He does? When did he get hurt?
So,
I haven't heard of that.
We just found out. We just found out over the weekend. This is something that he said apparently was bothering him last week. Now, could this have just been like, I'm not going to play in this preseason game, so I feel like a little bit stiff in my groin, maybe? And the only reason I'm saying that is because he fired off a tweet. Now, we didn't talk about this on Friday. Richie, when did he fire that tweet? Was it Thursday night?
Thursday night or Friday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it was Thursday night.
And summarize what he said in the tweet.
So essentially, Adam Schefter put out a tweet about the Chargers announcing that they're not going to play Justin Herbert or Austin Eckler or Keenan Allen, any of their stars. And Melvin quoted the tweet with a GIF of someone kind of looking suspicious. I don't remember which one it was, but it was kind of like an eye roll. And he was like, this is how starters going to be looking at Vic when they got to play in the first preseason game.
Oh, wow.
How about that? Like,
wow.
What? Like, you're actually tweeting that?
Right.
And we didn't talk about it. I heard Tyler talk about it on the drive. Rich, was Richie holding this from us? Were you holding this from us?
Yeah, here we go. What happened here?
Here we go.
Because they talked about it in the first hour.
Why didn't we get the intel on that then so we could talk about it? He was putting that in his back pocket, saving it for the drive.
Maybe.
Unbelievable.
Everybody's got
Twitter. Give my sandwich back, Richie. Give my sandwich back.
So,
no more sandwiches for you, man.
So, yeah, I have it here in front of me. He says, this is how our starter's going to be looking at Coach Vic tomorrow when he start talking about the Vikings Saturday. And it's P. Diddy just like looking like, are you kidding me? Like in a GIF. And Tyler was like, this is not a good look.
That's an awful look. Like, support the guys that are going to be playing, because it matters to a lot of the, I mean, it matters and it's important. That's why Vic's playing some starters and not every starter. So don't put out the perception that, you know what, like, you don't want to play. Like, you're putting that for everybody to see that you don't want to play. I didn't like playing in preseason games. Like, if you're an established starter, you really don't want to play in preseason games. I mean, that's all that can happen is you're going to get hurt. But you don't put that out there. That's immature.
So
that's not being a pro.
And Tyler was kind of saying the same thing. Was he not, Richie? He was like, this is not something that you tweet.
No.
Like, if you feel that way, and
keep it
behind closed doors.
Yes,
if you're one of the, you're a starter on this team.
You should be a leader on this team, right? You should be a leader on this team. This is your second year here. You're a proven player. Don't take that approach.
So that's the that tweet is the only reason why I even offer that. Like we're like, oh, Melvin has a groin injury? Like, really? And Vic, we found out over the weekend that Vic said, you know, he didn't feel quite right, but it's nothing serious.
Okay. So, oh, good. Well, I mean, they're going to need Melvin this year.
No doubt.
They're going to need him. I just don't, you know, don't take that approach and put it out there for the world to see. Because you're kind of undermining your head coach also, right, in a big way here. I mean, because you're saying, look how they're handling their stars.
Right.
And their starters.
And that's his former team, by the way.
Right. Yeah, why are we doing it this way?
Yeah.
So it's just, it's not a good way to go about your business right there.
All right. But, well, he's, you know, looking at Javonte Williams, really, again, terrific first impression. Okay, back to the quarterbacks. Can Teddy Bridgewater still win this quarterback competition on points? Or does he now truly have to hit back this week? Take a dive into that conversation coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
Back of the end zone, it is caught. Beauty of a ball. Trinity Benson hauls it in on a perfect touchdown pass from Teddy Bridgewater.
Can Teddy Bridgewater still win this quarterback competition on points? Or does he truly have to hit back this week? You know, for past handful of years, I don't know how many now, maybe six, seven, eight, been ordering big prize fights, boxing, right? And unless someone gets knocked down, the only score that you can give for a round is 10-9. That's it. Someone gets knocked down, 10-8, but it's just 10-9. You can only win by a point. This quarterback competition has felt like up until Saturday that Teddy was winning 10-9 on the judges' scorecard.
Yeah.
And we have our first, is it fair to say that we have our first knockdown of this competition between these two?
I don't know about that because I felt like Teddy came in and played well also. So I don't know. I think maybe you can give it a knockdown. You can give it a 10-8. But I don't think Vic's looking at it as like it was a 10-8. I think it was, you heard Vic, and right? He's being honest. Because in my view, it wasn't a knockdown. Because Teddy responded. Now, Teddy would have played bad. Now that's that knockdown. So if anything, it's just a 10-9.
It's just a 10-9.
Just a 10-9. Because Teddy played well also. We can't forget he had a rushing touchdown called back.
True.
Drew had an incompletion on a third down that wasn't a good throw that Broncos ended up getting a first down off of because there was an offsides on the play. So, like, little things like that, fans overlook it, a lot of media overlook it. Not me. I'm in it, and the coaches aren't overlooking that.
Right.
So, I think it was a 10-9 because Teddy played well also.
Does it feel like Teddy has to hit back more now, though?
I don't think so.
No?
No. I think Teddy's got to do what Teddy's been doing. And that's what impressed me about him on Saturday. There was no panic. There was no, okay, I got to start doing something that is not in the realm of this offense. Like, I got to start taking shots down the football field to match what Drew did. And I think that's just, human nature to try to match that guy,
right,
especially when they play like that. Teddy was Teddy. Just being methodical and had a couple nice throws in there, made a play with his feet, got called back because of the awful call. I mean, sometimes, and this is just awful call. I think it was Calvin Anderson on the hands to the face.
Yes, it was.
I mean, they're just looking for something. This, you're playing offensive line and you're blocking the defensive end. The guy's, twisting and doing all this stuff, and you graze his helmet and touch it. That's not hands to the face. Relax a little. It's football. Now, if you get him under the chin and you push his chin up and the face mask is up, okay. But when you graze his head, this guy's not playing quarterback. I mean, come on. This is what ticks me off about the referees. It's just like they just... I can't stand it. Like really? You're gonna call that a penalty? Awful call. Awful. And takes away a stinking touchdown from Teddy Bridgewater. That's besides the point. But that just got me remembering about that stinking call from the referees. And man, they can tick me off with calls like that. But anyway, I don't think that Teddy has to come out and, give Drew the same, have that type of performance that Drew had last week and, throw for 150 and a couple touchdowns to get himself back in the conversation. I think this thing is still, like Vic said, even. And if I had to call it, I would still say it's Teddy's. Just because of everything that we've witnessed, and it's not just one game here. And what are the coaches looking for? I think Teddy presents that a little bit more than Drew. But we'll see. We'll see what it looks like. When do they play this week? Saturday?
Saturday.
Yeah.
See what it looks like.
I mean, what do you think? Do you think that he needs to have a Drew Lock type of performance? Make some big plays?
I do think there's an element of this. I do. And I think part of the reason that there could be is, and this sounds crazy, but, and we've talked about this periodically leading up to this point, like the fact that they're games and they're on TV where everyone can watch, I think that that actually comes into play. It shouldn't, but I think it has here in the past year or two. Under Vic Fangio, we've seen him play silly little games. And I think that the fact that Drew went crazy in front of everyone, I think there is a small semblance of, hey, like, are you now? Drew's got to go back it up. This is all he can give this equity back on Saturday. If he
could give it back on Tuesday, tomorrow, he could give it back tomorrow. You agree or disagree?
You know what?
It's practice, but...
No, I think that you're right because of the dynamic that's
right.
Already naturally
yes.
In play.
And because of what he's been doing in practices. But, and if he just goes out there and for 1.5 quarters or whatever and you go 5-for-7 and you have a nice game, but then in practice on Tuesday you go out there and you have a bad practice, then what are coaches going to say? They're going to say, man, he was against backups. It was only threw it 7 times. We made it easy for him. Ran the ball great. That's what they're going
to
say.
And if you want it to be Teddy, you can say those things. Like if in your own mind's eye, like if you
yes.
If you feel really inside that Teddy gives you the best chance to start 1-0 and maybe 3-0 to start the season or at least 2-1, you can kind of talk yourself into it. So yes, I think tomorrow matters, but I just think the games should matter more. Because tomorrow we'll be out there. It's not going to look like it did Saturday, even despite the competition being second stringers. So, you want to know what? I think there's a thought out there that after what Drew did this weekend, that it provides just ultimate clarity to the situation. And the more we talk it out from the coaching staff standpoint and you actually listen to Vic, I don't think there's any clarity here.
No, not at all. I think they've been leaning towards Teddy. I think they've kind of wanted Teddy, and that's their style of a quarterback and how they want to play football. And all it does is muddy things up for him. And, because it's not just what fans see. It's not just on Saturday. It's the week, the day-to-day practices in the facility that we don't see, the leadership that we don't see. All those things matter in when you're naming your starting quarterback. And unfortunately, a lot of fans don't get to see it. We get to take a sneak peek at some of the practices right now that will go a long way and determine who the quarterback is. We don't know what's going on inside the building, but all that matters in a big way. So I don't think perception will, sway these coaches. I think it's just going to be harder to sell the fan base if Drew backs up another good performance and then they go with Teddy.
Right.
Then the fan base can turn quicker on you if Teddy is a guy and he's not playing well. So I don't think it's going to really affect how they determine who wins this thing, but I think it could backfire from a fan's perspective.
I think you're spot on. This fan base already doesn't have any real reasons to love Vic Fangio. If Drew goes out and plays well again this weekend and they still go with Teddy, look out. All right, good conversation there. Lots of Broncos country had one eye on a football game before kickoff ever happened in Minnesota on Saturday. Tell you why coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
I'm a bastard.
Lots of Broncos country had one eye on a football game before kickoff ever happened in Minnesota on Saturday. That was to watch a quarterback in orange and blue. Just a different shade of it out there in the Windy City. Justin Fields. Did you get to see any of Justin Fields' performance?
A little bit, yeah, a little bit. Made some nice throws. Some guys made some plays for him. He had one, that touchdown he threw was a scheme play, the boot keeper where the guy goes tight end, goes down the line, then kind of back up. He got lost wide open.
Wide open.
Yeah. What impressed me was he moves so well.
He does.
He moves so well. And that's huge for a young quarterback when they're learning the game and trying to figure things out, is can you make a few plays with your legs, a la Josh Allen?
Yeah.
Right? Can you do that just to buy some time?
Just get you through.
Just get you through. Where you're not just, you don't lose all your confidence. You have some success, and you can build off of that, and you can get some easy plays because you're just a great athlete. And he does that. So that, to me, is what stood out. 14 for 20, 142 and a touchdown. But just the way he moved with his legs, and obviously he handled himself nice in the pocket and all that. But I think that can get him by early on in his career and hopefully, get him going in the right direction.
He moves, he can go, but he's got a smoothness to the movement.
It is smooth, yes.
It's like he's not trying. He just is in high gear and
kinda
it looks
effortless.
Kind of
reminds you of me when I'm rolling. Just like effortlessly.
When is the last time you did a full out, all out sprint?
Oh my goodness. Probably like 4 or 5 years ago, had too much to drink and on the beach in Florida and raced my nephew.
I love it.
And he beat me.
Who do we see doing that? Kirby Smart. Did you see Kirby Smart racing on the beach a couple weeks ago?
No.
Yeah.
He's coach?
He's racing his son. Yeah. And he's just, took off, like, going 100 miles per hour. And my mind goes, like, when I see, like, a 50-year-old man doing that, it's like, your Achilles is going to snap here.
Oh, you're definitely going to pop a quad or hamstring.
Right.
It's just not worth it. So it doesn't appeal to me, because I know I'm going to hurt myself. So I was like, don't do it. You're going to hurt yourself.
Uh-huh. Well, Justin Fields, he said,
he is smooth.
He is smooth.
When was the last time you opened up?
Probably not
10 yards, like a 40 yard get after, 30 yard get after it.
That would be a year and a half ago. It was like during the pandemic where we were going to the track, running around. I'd start to time myself, when it hit the straightaway, try to open it up.
How did it feel? Did it feel smooth? It felt like
I hadn't done it in a really long time and haven't done it since. For a reason.
Right.
A little 7-yard, 10-yard on a basketball court.
Yeah, right.
Not like full throttle, Justin Fields looked good. Looked good. Trevor Lawrence, 6 for 9, 71 yards. Struggled a little bit. Had a fumble.
Yeah.
Was sacked a couple times as well, but also had a couple nice moments. Trey Lance, from a completion percentage standpoint, did not light the world on fire. He was sacked a handful of times, too. But again, you're not worried about their stats. You're worried about, a flash here or there. And Trey Lance gave that.
Made a nice
rolling
throw
out to his left, to the opposite side of the football field. Just a bomb. I mean, I don't know how long the play was. I'd say, 60, 70 yards, something like that. Over the top, touchdown.
80.
It was 80?
Yeah.
Golly. Zach Wilson went 6 for 9, had a couple really nice moments in his own right. Third down conversions, putting the ball where it needed to go. And Mac Jones last week was 13 for 19. Very efficient for 87 yards.
These guys aren't all going to make it. They're not all going to be top flight quarterbacks. So it's going to be interesting to see who kind of is able to continue to build off of what we saw this past weekend. Who doesn't?
Will three of them See, because that's what really what you look at. Like, if you have so this is the most first-rounders to ever go this early in NFL history. I agree with you. All five aren't going to make it. But to make it an all-time great class, three of them need to make it. John Elway, my Uncle Jim Kelly, Dan Marino. You look at the Eli class.
Yeah, but you're
class.
Talking about three. I mean, you're talking about not just making it. You're talking about three of the all-time greats. You're talking about Marino, Kelly, and Elway. And then you're going to go, you know, I mean, you go Eli, Big Ben.
Phillip Rivers.
I mean, those are three of the all-time greats also.
And then the most recent class in 2018 with Baker Mayfield, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. Lamar's already won an MVP. Josh Allen was in the AFC Championship game, quarterbacking a 13-3 team, finished third in the MVP. And Baker's team was, you know, 10-6. And
yeah, they still got a ways to go.
He still has a ways to go for get to that right. Lamar, Josh Allen. But it's shaping up. It's so early in their career. But it's shaping up to be really, really good class. Does your gut say, I won't hold you to this because we're one preseason game into these guys' careers. But does your gut say that three of Justin Fields, Trevor Lawrence, Trey Lance, Zach Wilson, and Mac Jones, just three of these guys work out? Because my gut is telling me that three of them are going to.
Yeah, I'm there, but I don't want to be fooled. You have the hype, and if you would name the three, which three would you name? Who would your three be?
I like this.
You're darn right you do.
Mac Jones.
Okay.
And I know some people say that's outside the box, but sure. I think that offense and what the position that he's going to be put in, I think, is good.
Okay.
And I was a big fan of him coming out of college. So I'll say Mac Jones, Trey Lance. And I got to say Trevor Lawrence, don't I?
You say whoever you want.
Mac Jones, Trey Lance, and Trevor Lawrence.
Okay. Mine are Justin Fields. Trey Lance. Zach Wilson.
Mm.
I don't know. Something about Trevor Lawrence I'm just not vibing with. There's something that I am just not vibing with for some reason. I don't know what it is. We'll see. He's been a hit everywhere he's been. Started at Clemson, you know, halfway through that freshman year and was just a stud. But something is just not vibing with me right now for Justin Lawrence. I mean,
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence. Goodness gracious. But you see Justin Fields and the way that he's handling things. I mean, he looks comfortable, makes plays with his legs. One game. That's it. But early prediction for both of us. There we go. That was fun.
So the guys that we had in common were Trey Lance.
That's it. Yep.
I love the position that Trey Lance will be put into by Kyle Shanahan. I have major question marks about everything Jacksonville related.
Yes.
And that matters.
It matters. Certainly it matters. What? Who's the coach of the Bears again?
Matt Nagy.
Yeah, if you're Coach Nagy, how do you not start Justin Fields? I mean, and if you don't, you got to play him quickly. You got to. That's the only way that guy can save his job.
Right, and he's on the hot seat. We know that,
yes,
right?
It's really so hot. Right? I mean, how do you just, like, ignore that and go with the red rifle with your butt on the line?
Because your butt's on the line, you don't want to play a rookie.
But that's the only, like, if that guy plays well, then it's like, you know, and he's a difference maker, it seems to me. And then you hear the reports, I just like, wow,
but
I don't know.
He could play well. The Bears could be 9-8. And he could still get fired.
He could, but there could be a case being made. Hey, this is my offense. I want to continue to build with this guy. Look where we did, you know, Rich Gangarello style. Like, we went, you know, 7-2 with this guy, and we were whatever before. But, man, let's just continue to build. I got a perfect offense for him. He's going to have to play him at some point this year.
You would think.
Yeah.
You would think. You're only going so far with Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Right.
Only so far.
All right, good conversation. We're going to continue to track this class. There's some that think, I heard Max Kellerman on ESPN, he said this could be the greatest quarterback class of all time. I mean, it's way too early. It was overreaction Monday segment, but we're going to continue to
He also told us 0% chance of football last year.
He did. All right, our next guest, who I have a feeling Stoke is not going to get along with, Our next guest has a new name for his own self.
Oh.
He's giving himself a nickname.
Wow. I wonder who.
He's captain of the SS Drew. And he says old pirate Vic Fangio needs to make this quarterback competition walk the plank.
Wow.
Arr. Take a dive into it next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
James Merrillat of DenverFan.com. He's got a new nickname for himself. Captain of the SS Drew. And he says the old pirate Vic Fangio needs to make this quarterback competition walk the plank. Arr. James, welcome.
What's up, fellas?
How you doing, man?
I am doing well. I'm excited. We got some good returns on Saturday night from the, potential quarterback of the future. There's reason to be excited for the first time in a long time in Broncos country. Why not be in a great mood today on a Monday?
You know, I said the same thing. I came in here like, look, you don't need to, like, break it down in an elementary fashion telling me how the backups were playing and the construct of it. Like, I get it. But hasn't things been so bad around here? Like, in the most literal sense, the worst stretch of NFL football in Broncos history that we can allow ourselves to be excited on a Monday like this one.
Yeah, exactly. And I think when your team is down, it's part of the reason why, you know, the draft is so popular. That's a weekend, that's 3 days where it gives people hope. I think preseason, when you see some flashes and see that, hey, maybe things are going to turn and go in a different direction, it gives you hope. And as a fan base, that's what you're looking for. And that's been part of the issue around here is, you know, when you look out there and it's Joe Flacco and it's Case Keenum and it's Trevor Siemian, you feel a little hopeless. And for the first time in a while, there is some hope. Now, I get it. It's a preseason game, and the Vikings were not playing their starters. And fine, I get all the caveats. But there were a lot of reasons to be optimistic from what you saw. And it wasn't just how Drew Lock played. Now, he did exactly what he was supposed to do. He sustained drives, he made a big play, and he didn't turn the ball over. So it's check, check, check. So he had a perfect report card from his one opportunity to go out there with the ones. But the other thing I liked a lot, Zach, that is the formula for how this team can succeed on offense with Drew Lock. It's the formula we saw in Carolina that Pat Shurmur, for whatever reason, went away from. But when they can run the football and they can go play action and it's a little bit of the Gary Kubiak offense, man, that guy can be very, very effective. It turned into 20 of 27 and 4 touchdowns down in Carolina. And it was 5 of 7 for a 150 and a couple of scores the other day. So I thought it was very encouraging on a lot of fronts.
James, you talk about hope. I had hope 2 years ago when Drew was 4-1.
Sure.
That hope didn't turn out too well last year, buddy. So I don't know how much we can go into this and have, like, hope that Drew Lock is still going to be that franchise quarterback. I'm just not really on board with that after just seeing him go 5 for 7. I mean, that's all he threw the ball was 7 times, and you're ready for this thing to be a wrap. I mean, you got to take – it's more than just one football game. It's the sum of everything that has happened here, you know, Drew did do what he had to do, because if he didn't play like that, I felt like Vic could have called it and gave it to Teddy on Sunday. That's how far I felt there was a separation between the two guys over the course of training camp. But it's still, you know, you can't just go off of one game here is kind of what I'm saying.
I get it, but I'm not going off of just one game. Now, the Broncos created this ridiculous scenario, and I've been saying it was ridiculous since last December, to where, you know, you're going to throw out 18 starts from Drew Lock, and you're going to throw out multiple years from Teddy Bridgewater, and it's going to come down to, you know, a few drives against the Vikings and a few drives against the Seahawks, which is preposterous. But that's the situation they've created. So at practice, you know, the fan, our official scoreboard, has had it Drew 7, Teddy 5. Now, you can argue
who's doing that scoreboard?
You can argue with that score, but almost every day when we all walk out of there, it's like, just push, flip a coin, like it's close, I don't know. Like, that's always the thought, right? Then it was, well, it's all about the joint practices. Okay. And Teddy goes up and has three red zone turnovers in the joint practices, right? And the only reason he's in this mix is because he's the guy who doesn't make those kind of mistakes. But for whatever reason, those don't count. The Little League mom is keeping the scorebook, so we're not going to count those against Teddy.
Well, you're giving him three, but I know one of them was a snap issue,
yeah.
Right? So is that on him? Is that on the center? How do you know who that's on if we weren't there?
He's involved with the play. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, I know.
We count him against Drew when it happened to Drew, so I'm just trying to be consistent
here. I didn't put that on Drew. I think we got to grade certain turnovers differently. Like, you know, Drew the day before had a tip ball. I mean, I don't put that on Drew, but, you know, I think you got to be fair when you're looking at both guys and you got to grade them, you know, the same.
It's the dribbler to the second baseman that goes through his legs. And the mom gives him a double. Okay, I get it. That's what we're doing here. And then Drew only gets one shot with the ones. That's it. He only gets the one opportunity. And look, I would have liked to seen him throw 17 passes. I'd have liked to seen him keep playing. But the way the game went, that's all he got. And he hit a home run. He was about as good as he could have been. Now, Teddy has his opportunity. But here's why I think this thing is over. Drew was great in his chance. So Teddy could go out and be great. But if they're both great, you go with the young guy. You go with the guy with upside. I don't
not
know
them.
How Teddy can be above
not the coaches.
Great.
Not the coaches. That's not how they're viewing it. They don't care about
that.
The young guy or the old guy. I mean, they're trying to win now.
I get you. And Vic Fangio is giving a signal after signal after signal. His interview at halftime going in when Drew Lock just did what he did, and he's like, oh, Teddy's playing good too. Like, it just tells you all you need to know. And then
it really does. And James, let me cut you off here. And obviously, we're going to let you finish here. But at that point, we have to remind ourselves, and I know you don't need the reminder, but when he said that, Bridgewater hadn't marched down the field and thrown that touchdown yet. Like, that didn't come till the third quarter.
Right,
so
right.
There wasn't even a touchdown to react to. That to me was the ultimate tell. I think Vic Fangio wants to start Teddy Bridgewater, period.
I think he does, too.
You cannot ball any more than Drew Lock balled in that first half.
No.
So for him to be asked, hey, what do you think about Drew? And for his first response to be, well, Teddy played well, too, I think is everything you need to know.
I 100% agree. I think he wants it to be Teddy Bridgewater. I think it's painfully obvious. I think it's a situation where he's looking at it of, you know, we've talked about it all offseason and throughout training camp of Vic's trying to save his job. And Zach, you and I talked about it one day when I was filling in of, well, what the heck's the goal for this year? And if the goal is to save Vic Fangio's job, well, then you make different decisions than if the goal is, hey, let's build something that, you know, in a year, 2 years, 3 years, all of a sudden you look up and like, man, we're a contender. Look at this offense. We got a young quarterback and all these young weapons. And, you know, we're actually on a trajectory upward as opposed to how do we hop up on a plateau that'll save Vic Fangio's job but is going to get us nowhere. So that's what's odd about this situation. But, no, I clearly think he wants Teddy Bridgewater to get the job. Now, look, if Teddy falls on his face against the Seahawks, I think it's going to be pretty hard for him to do that. But I don't expect Teddy to do that. Look, Teddy was good the other day.
He was.
I'm not going to bash what he did, but there's no reason to go with the veteran with limited upside, who we've all seen what he is. He's Teddy Two Yards. We all know it. There's no reason to go with that unless the young player is still a turnover machine and he's getting you beat and he's a disaster.
James,
we haven't
James,
seen it. So you James. Put the hoops in front of him, he jumps whoa, through whoa. It, then you can't say, well, here's more hoops.
We have seen it in practice, though. We have seen that quarterback in practice that turns it over too much. And how much do you put into the game when he only throws it seven times? That's it. So you're going to crown him on seven throws, and on top of that, he's got what do you put into it when he's going up against all backups, and he's got five or six starters?
Okay.
I mean, you got to put in some kind of context, don't
sure.
you? Because if it was Teddy, that I know you would be.
Sure. No, that's not true. I just gave Teddy credit. But Drew can only perform in the situation he's put in, right? Like, it's not his fault Mike Zimmer didn't play anybody. It's not his fault that George Payton and Vic Fangio came up with this ridiculous situation where we're grading him off of seven passes. I get it. That's not enough of a sample size. I totally am with you. But again, he didn't create the situation. All he can do is go into it and do the best that he can in that spot. and he was great. So if we're not going to count Drew Locke's performance because they didn't play any starters.
Nobody said don't count
and
it.
I don't want to hear Javonte Williams look good.
Nobody said don't count it. Nobody said don't count it.
Jake Browning ain't going to be throwing passes at Pat Surtain, so let's count that.
Well, you got to count it, but you have to put it in context. You don't go overboard here with it. Just put it in context. There needs to be, you have to look at it a little bit differently. Now, do you take all credit away from those guys? Absolutely not. Nobody's saying to do that, but at the same time, when you evaluate it, you have to realize that, okay, it was against them. It did happen because of this. And so I think you can't just broad stroke it and just say, no, you can't count it at all, or yes, it's like he's the next Hall of Famer. I mean, okay. Right? I mean, it's somewhere right there in the middle, but there is context there.
I'm totally with you, and we have to take all that into account, and it'll go into account this coming Saturday against the Seahawks, and we also have to take into account the context of, you know, what's going on at training camp and what's going on in joint practices. But if Drew Locke isn't named the starter, short of Drew Locke going out against the threes this coming Saturday and being 3 for 15 with three picks, and Teddy being, you know, 10 of 12 with three touchdowns and 200 yards, like, short of something ridiculous like that, if Drew Locke doesn't win this job, it's a sham.
Wait, James, you can't. I mean, are you serious? Like, yeah. You think he's that far ahead right now?
Yeah.
Like, he's that far ahead. So he can go, if he goes 3 for 15 and Teddy, you know, Teddy's going to have to go, you know, 15 for 17 with three touchdowns, and Drew's going to have to play just terrible football for Teddy to win this thing?
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're looking at this thing so out of whack. I mean, like crazy.
Well, I think Drew Locke has to fall flat on his face in order to lose this job at this point. He had his opportunity with the ones. We all knew it. We all said, look, if he goes out and stinks, then all Teddy has to do against the, and this is KKFN and KFN, KKFN HD on Long Lake Denver. Then all Teddy has to do.
You had it.
Zach, I gave it to you. No. You were talking. You let James interrupt you. Just take it from you.
No, but
James just pumped you.
You should have
James just pumped
talking.
You. James,
no.
You pumped him. Good job.
Dude, you let it go at 57. All you need to do is keep going for three
I
more
seconds.
I couldn't
keep going.
Yes,
and
you could have.
You went in. You started talking. I said, here. I looked at you. Said, here. Here's the ball. And you blew it.
Dude, you were
disappointed.
They are who we thought they were. Goodness. And we let them off the hook.
You know, goodness. I had to bounce back from last week, and I heard all the trash talk the day after I was on there that I got dunked on. So this was an important, you know, appearance by me right here at the top of the hour. So, you know, after you get embarrassed like I did last week, I had to bounce back.
You did.
Well,
you did.
Well
good,
here,
thanks,
here's,
good
here's,
job.
Here's, I'm going to circle back to the quarterback here. Check this out. If you were out at practice every day, this is part of my issue here with this conversation. If you were an alien that came down, we're out at training camp every single day, and you weren't aware what the previous history was or what the narrative was supposed to be with either guy, you wouldn't be walking away from those practices saying Teddy Bridgewater is the safe option. That's like part of my thing. Like, Teddy has turned it over a fair amount here in training camp, way more than someone who has like this title of, he's the conservative safe option.
That's my point. Like, in the practices, he had the terrible Saturday, right, where he had the three turnovers. He had the ugly performance in the joint practice against the Vikings. So he's not living up to the reason you would go with him, which is, hey, he's not going to shoot us in the foot, right? Like, that's why you would go with Teddy. So if he's not doing that, and Drew goes out and shows the upside, the big play, the strike to KJ Hamler, it's like, man, he can do that. The touchdown throw to Trinity Benson was a beauty on the move. Like, that was great. And by the way, I think we were all the first group that was on the Trinity Benson bandwagon. Mm-hmm. He's making the roster.
It was my first twinkle of training camp.
Yep, there you go. So that throw was great. The third down to Jerry Jeudy, where he bought time and went to his third or fourth option, was great.
That was the best one. The one to Trinity Benson. I mean, the guy is wide open. I mean,
rolling to his right. That was a nice play. That was an eight yard pass rolling to his right
to a wide open receiver, and we're doing cartwheels for that.
Hey,
really?
You know what?
Is that your criteria? Is that like your standard now, James?
Listen, I've seen an offense that put me to sleep not just in the fourth quarter of preseason games, but in regular season games. So at this point, yeah, a guy who can roll right and throw it for a touchdown, I'll take him.
8 yards.
Well,
I'll take it too, but I'm just saying I'm not going to crown a quarterback for that.
So, here's if you don't, even if you're saying one guy has edged out the other, can we agree that it's been close throughout this thing?
Yes.
Even Saturday. Like,
yeah.
Like the number one and number two highest QBRs of preseason week number one is literally Drew Lock and Teddy Bridgewater.
Agreed.
I mean, you can't make that up. So if it's close, what are tiebreakers? Because I have a feeling when this thing is done, we're probably going to be saying the same thing, that it's close, same way that we look back at the last 3 weeks.
Some people are going to want one. Some people are going to want, they're going to have good arguments both ways.
It should be age and ceiling. That should be it. You're coming off of 5-11. You're not a Super Bowl team right now. You're
But that's not the way they look at it, James. They're trying to win football games. They're trying to get to the playoffs. I mean, they're not looking at it as like, okay, we can't win a Super Bowl. Now let's just build for the future. I mean, obviously, Vic's trying to win games this year to save his rear end. But the players are not thinking like Super Bowl or just go with Drew because he's got a higher ceiling. He might be the future. They're trying to win football games. They're trying to get to the playoffs and get back to, you know, just not having a losing record. That's how they're looking at it.
I get it, but where is the evidence that Teddy Bridgewater is the guy that's going to make that happen and has better chances of doing that than Drew Lock? We haven't seen it at practice. We didn't see it in the joint practices. We didn't see it in the game. We didn't see it last season when he went 4-11. We didn't see it in the offseason when the Panthers decided, hey, we'll pay millions to have him go play for someone else. Like,
I think the two examples that you can point to, James, and just giving you honest pushback, if you're Vic Fangio and you're looking for like the evidence that Bridgewater can be that guy for a roster you think is awesome, for a defense that you think is awesome, for a run game that we think is going to be awesome, is you look to the 1 year in New Orleans when everything was right around him. And he just had to chew gum and walk and went 5-0. And earlier in his career, when everything was right around him and they had the incredible running game and defense, and he went 11-5. I think that's okay. The one retort. And it's been like years since that one. So you got to like go way in the past. But I think if you're Vic, if you're looking for an answer to the question that you just asked, you point to those two situations.
I'm with you. But if you go back and look at those five games with the Saints, they were brutal offensively. I think they beat the Dolphins like 9-3 in a game. They didn't even get into the end zone. So, okay, if that's what you want. And that's
I'm not saying me. If you're Vic.
I'm just saying there is nothing that shuts down a running game faster than nine guys in the box because they're not afraid of Teddy 2 yards. Like, part of the reason they were able to run the ball well the other day is like, hey, this guy might throw it over the top, and oh my gosh, we're worried about Jerry Jeudy and KJ Hamler. Like, it all kind of goes hand in hand. So I get what you're saying, and I fully expect Vic Fangio to pick Teddy Bridgewater. I fully expect my head to explode this week next time when that this time next week
can't
when
wait.
That announcement comes out. I'm gonna lose my mind when that happens.
Oh.
But here's how it's gonna go then at that point. Vic Fangio, if he picks Teddy Bridgewater, then it is playoffs or you're gone. Because there is
Agreed.
No other reason to pick Teddy
Bridgewater.
Well,
he knows that. We Zero. All know that.
So okay, I mean, to some extent, you guys know how I feel about Vic Fangio, and if he wants to put his neck on the line in that manner, okay. But because, man, you go 1-2 with Teddy Bridgewater to start the year, you might not make it to October. Like, it should be that short of a leash if he makes that decision when there isn't concrete evidence that it's the right way to go. The fact that we can even debate it tells us that, right? It's not. There's no concrete evidence that Teddy is the answer and it's clear as day and you got to go that route. There's plenty of evidence on the Drew side of this argument.
There's plenty of evidence for Teddy.
Sure, but if you're going to go back and forth.
I think there's more evidence for Drew. I do.
I disagree. I disagree because I've been out there every day. You've been out there every day. It's kind of going back and forth.
I think it's been close.
I gave it last week. I thought this thing could have been called just because of what Teddy was doing. And I go back to the bad history, Zach. You can't forget the bad history that Drew has with his coaching staff.
Well,
that goes a long way into this discussion.
And I agree with you. You can't just say, oh, Men in Black style, we're just going to erase everything that you went through a year ago and you're going to clean slate it. But if that's the case, if last year is still put up on the scale pound for pound for every pick he threw, he can't win this competition.
That's why it's going to be really difficult. We've talked about it. It's you know, is it fair? Probably not. But that's the reality of it. We said it, Zach, before camp, he had to have a great camp. And he hasn't had a great camp. Now, he had a great game, but he hasn't had a great camp. And well, so the history comes into play, and the history really hurts him.
And that's why I say if Teddy Bridgewater wins it, the competition was a sham. Because it's exactly what you just said, Stoke. It was they had their decision before they ever came in based on things that happened a year ago. It almost didn't matter what he did, right? Like, this is a guy that since they've drafted him, they put nothing but hurdles in front of him. And now they're putting a bunch of hoops for him to jump through, and it continues to never be enough. Like, look, I don't want to be the Drew Lock apologist, but at some point, the organization has to look themselves in the mirror and go, are we doing the right thing here for developing a young quarterback? Because you got to be just a total hater to not look at what he did on the field on Saturday and see, hey, this kid can play. Now, he's raw in a lot of ways, and there's a lot of edges to smooth out, but that's on the organization to help him with that, and they've done zero.
Well, James, you can't give him years. I mean, we gave him last year, buddy. You can't forget about last year. You can't forget. And also, the other thing I gotta stop you on is because Mike Kliss does it this, also. We can't have the narrative that Teddy Bridgewater can't throw the football 40 yards down the field. Like, Teddy can throw it. He can throw it. He's methodical, and he does throw a lot of checkdowns, but he can make all the throws on the football field. Let's not get caught up and act like Teddy Bridgewater can't throw a 50-yard ball down the field, because he
can.
I'm
not saying he can't, but his penchant is to check it down.
Sure, gotcha.
And he doesn't have the arm strength of Drew Lock. He just doesn't.
No.
Doesn't mean he can't throw it. He's more like, you know, Flacco.
You're kind of acting like that, though.
And some of those guys. I am not looking forward to a season of dumping it off and on 3rd and 8 or on 3rd and 3, throwing a 2-yard out and here comes Sam Martin. That just doesn't interest me. I've seen enough of that. And I get that, you know, hey, we can't give Drew years, but again, he's the only one that doesn't get the free pass for last year. Vic does, Pat Shurmur does, Jerry Jeudy does, the list goes on and on and on about it was COVID, it was off season. Okay, but that doesn't apply to the young quarterback who they changed offensive coordinators after he was 4-1 and had success. It doesn't apply to him. It just applies to everybody else. Again, it's a bunch of hurdles and it's a bunch of hoops, and I think it's unfair. And I think this is an organization that is on the cusp of snuffing out another talented young quarterback. And I think that would be a shame. I think it'd be a wasted opportunity.
Well, it's interesting because 3 times now in the last 4 or 5 minutes, James, you've referred to the organization. I actually believe we have a disagreement within the organization. I do. Because I think Vic Fangio and maybe the coaching staff, but Fangio specifically, is not wanting to play Drew Lock. And I think George Payton wants to see what he has from Drew Lock. Because from a management standpoint, why wouldn't you in year one want to see the young quarterback? Because as I said Friday, ultimately, now you can tell me it's improbable, and I'm not saying you specifically, but Broncos country can tell me it's improbable that Drew Lock works out. That's fine, and it's probably fair to say. But what is best case scenario for the Denver Broncos as an organization is for their young drafted quarterback on a rookie contract to work out. That's even more, that's the more best case scenario over Aaron Rodgers. It really is. So if you're George Payton, you still want to make sure you turn over that stone when he's right here under your nose. And I just don't believe that the head coach, feels that same sort of logic.
No, I'm with you. And it's part of what makes this season strange, because they've got a general manager in the first year of a 6-year deal, so he's got, you know, long-term visions. They got a head coach who's on the hot seat, who if he doesn't win a game in September, he is going to be gone. So he has the ultimate in short term. They have a young offense that you're building for the future. They have an expensive veteran-laden defense, so it's win now. Like, none of it adds up. None of it makes sense. But George Payton has to come in and be the grown-up and make the good decision. I wouldn't leave any decision to Vic Fangio. I tweeted it during the game. The guy would spend 5 weeks deciding if he wanted a vacation in Fiji or Fargo. He can't make any decision, and I wouldn't trust him with it.
Oh, my God. I love it. Hey, that goes up there. That is a all-conference tweet right next to your other one when you were picking general managers, when you said, have Vic interview two guys, and whichever one that he doesn't like, hire that guy.
There you go. There you go.
James.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, appreciate your time, man.
You bet, fellas. It's always fun.
All right, there he goes. It's hysterical. Good conversation.
Yeah.
Very divisive, judging by the RamosLaw.com text line.
I'm not even looking at it today.
That's all right. So.
It's all right. You know, I know they're coming at me.
Bells, they're coming at James and you. I mean, it is dividing.
Well, it depends on who you like.
Is that ultimately what this comes down to?
Yeah. What you know, do you like dark roast or light roast? I mean, I don't, you know, I mean, that's like, you know, which one do you prefer? And you know, that's kind of the way that you view things, right? And because both guys have done good things, both guys have done bad things. And so you have a good case on both sides here. And it's just kind of what do the coaches prefer here?
All right, we will circle back to this eventually because I want to get more into the organizational standpoint at some point in time. And if we don't today, we can do it tomorrow. But first, is it about time everyone, including the Broncos, takes one member of this football team just a little bit more seriously? Tell you who I'm talking about coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.